Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
And my name is Bill.
So we're on episode 52.
Who plays for my team with the number 52? Football.
Oh, Matthews?
Clay Matthews.
Clay Matthews. There we go.
Linebacker.
Yeah.
Green Bay Packers.
He's got the best hair, dude.
Dude, Clay Matthews is the man.
That's right. That's right. Right on.
Yeah.
This is the Clay Matthews episode.
Clay Matthews episode.
Right on, dude. So what have you been up to since the last episode?
Not much, man. My job has been driving me nuts.
Oh, yeah?
Looking for another job.
Oh, wow.
It sucks.
Crazy.
Euro 2016 started.
That's right.
England shit the bed yesterday.
They did.
Sucks.
Russia scored a goal. Like, was it an extra time?
It was a 92nd minute. Yeah.
What a piss off.
And the England and Russia fans threw a bit of a riot in the middle of Marseille.
That's brutal, man.
And both teams were warned that if it happens again, they're going to get kicked out.
Yeah.
Which really sucks.
Oh, totally.
It has nothing to do with the football team. Yeah, to keep it on the sports tip, some big deaths.
Oh, dude.
Muhammad Ali, the greatest.
Greatest of all time.
Yeah. He was the man, not just as a boxer, but as a human being.
Yeah.
I'm a Detroit Red Wings fan. Got to give much love to Gordie Howe.
Yeah, Gordie Howe. That one hurt.
Mr. Hockey.
He was always a staple in the hockey community.
Yeah.
You could always count on seeing him at the games and promoting hockey.
And as Wayne Gretzky said, he was the best hockey player I ever saw.
Yeah.
And if Wayne Gretzky says that, I trust it.
Yeah. Oh, totally, man. Yeah. And he's the originator of the Gordie Howe hat trick.
Yep.
That's so cool.
A goal and assist in a fight.
That's right. That's right. Oh, you want to talk about the other hockey bit for tonight?
Yeah. Pittsburgh won the Stanley Cup.
That's right.
I hate Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I really do. Listener Don Julio. Sorry, buddy.
Yep.
That sucks.
I think both of us have been there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it stings, man.
First time my team made it to the final in my era,
The
Red Wings, they played the New Jersey Devils and got swept four straight.
That's right, yeah.
Then came back and won it
the
next year.
That's right.
So there's always hope, man.
Yeah. So keep your head up, man. We're thinking of you. We've been there.
Yeah, it sucks.
It hurts, man.
Yeah, it's the hardest freaking trophy to win in sports.
It is. Really is.
Yeah.
I remember hearing a story. I forgot who told it, but it was a sports reporter who said after such and such team won the Stanley Cup, he went down to do interviews, and he went into the winning team's locker room, and they were all just gassed, like just dead.
Yeah.
He was like, if you didn't tell him ahead of time, he would have thought that was the losing team.
Yeah, like if you can stand up at the end of the playoffs, or you aren't like held together by tape.
Yeah,
you're doing something wrong.
Oh, totally.
You screwed up.
Yeah.
It's the hardest trophy to win.
It is. It's crazy.
And my last thing, we totally don't get political on this show, but I'm going to anyway. Getting a little tired of these mass shootings, man.
Yeah, it's gross.
Today in Orlando, what, 50 people?
50 and I think 52 others injured.
Yeah, got killed in Orlando today. Yeah. It's just, I don't get it.
Yeah.
Maybe it's because we live in Canada.
Yeah.
But man, you guys are having an election.
Yeah.
Americans in November, and you guys got to figure this shit out. This happens every week.
Yeah, it's reaching the point where you're just like, where is it going to happen next?
Yeah.
And over what event? It's tragic.
Yeah, and there was a LGBT element to it, which made it even more disgusting as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Just unforgivable.
Yeah, I think it was a gay nightclub.
Yeah.
And I saw a thing where one of the people who got killed was like texting his mom, like, we're getting shot at right now.
Damn.
He was like, he's coming into the room now. And oh,
that's,
it's devastating.
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
So yeah, hearts out to everybody in Orlando.
Yeah.
And people, we gotta take care of our own, man. This is kind of getting out of hand. I don't want to rant about anything political, but obviously there's somebody doing something wrong in the United States that people can do that.
Yeah, it's
every week.
Yeah.
So
And it was an assault rifle too. Yeah,
totally.
It's like,
yeah.
Who needs that?
Yeah. Are you killing deer?
No.
With an assault rifle?
Yeah.
Like, no.
Yeah. But then people will freak out over transgender bathrooms and.
Yeah. But enough of me bringing the show down to a halt.
All right. Yeah. Let's. I've got just a couple things. I've been talking like the last probably 2 months now because I cut cable. Been watching a lot of shows on Netflix and Show Me and other other platforms. So I just finished Grace and Frankie season one on Netflix. It's really funny. Jane Fonda and Lily Tomlin, they're hilarious together. Highly recommend the show. It's really sweet, really charming. It's an easy watch. Each episode's only like 30 minutes long. There's 13 episodes. So yeah, really enjoyable. Can't wait to watch season two. And then I finished 60 Days In, and 60 Days In is where they plant those innocent civilians in a prison population so they can get more information. And it was entertaining for about five or six episodes, and then it just kind of died down. And they used deliberate techniques to try to make the audience think that something major is going to happen, then nothing would ever happen, right? I hate that kind of thing.
That sucks. I've been watching The 100. Of that show?
I've heard of it, yeah.
The first couple seasons are pretty good. Third season sucks.
Oh, no way.
It is terrible. I hate every character on the show now.
Yeah.
The plot sucks, and I'm just watching it because I watched 2.5 seasons
of it. Oh, you're like committed at this point.
Yeah, I want to stop, but I won't. Because I'm foolish.
That's right.
Yeah, that's all I'm watching.
All right, man.
Yeah.
Well, and Game of Thrones and Silicon Valley.
Oh, yeah, those two. Those are
great. Hell yeah, those are great.
Yeah, I don't have cable either.
Yeah.
The only thing I watch now on TV, it seems, is like The Daily Show at midnight.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
And some sports.
Got to get those highlights in. All right, well, let's move on with the show. Let's get into the rant, where we rant about anything movie-related. Why don't you start things off for us, Bill?
This is going to be really short and sweet.
There you go.
Yeah. Star Wars reshoots. Shut the fuck up.
Yes, preach, man.
Rant out.
There you go. Bunch of non-filmmakers commenting on things they don't understand.
Right? Every movie has reshoots.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is.
Yeah.
Everyone does.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck up.
Even indies have it once in a while.
Totally.
Coverage shots, stuff like that.
It's nothing new. Stop talking about something you know nothing about.
Yeah. You guys are all just a bunch of Jon Snows out there. You know nothing. Oh, man.
I was totally drinking some water when you said that, you bastard.
Totally owned. That's awesome. All right, well, here's my rant, and mine's going to be just short as well. I'm getting tired of Hollywood studios pandering to the international audiences by centering their entire plot of a movie by making it based in China. I'm talking, of course, like Transformers, and a lot of the spy action thrillers are going there. And Now You See Me Too.
Yep.
Shot entirely there in China. And it's like, I think when you do that, you sacrifice a lot in the movie. Like, it just, you lost a lot of the fun. I'm not saying that's the only reason, but there's just something gross about it to me.
Well, they're saying it's like the biggest box office area in the world now. Michael Bay is going to destroy some of Macau or something in the next Transformers movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, Warcraft kind of bombed here.
Big time.
But it made a shitload of money in China.
It did, yeah.
So
I guess that's just the world we live in.
And the plot device to get them to China in Now You See Me Too? What was that?
That was stupid.
More on that later.
Yeah.
More on that
later. All right. Later. Cool. All right. Well, that's the rant, and that's how that works. Let's move on. Let's review our first film of the day. Let's talk about Popstar. What's it called? Never Stop Poppin'?
No, Never Stop, Never Stoppin'.
Okay. All right. I totally butchered that one. All right. Let's talk about that movie.
Ever since I was born, I was dope.
Connor for real is a pop star who grew up with his buddies in a group called the Style Boys.
Adam Levine's hologram, so expensive.
And he has since gone on to solo glory, but at what cost? That's really the question.
Top of the world.
You were up there for like 10 seconds.
It's a third of the way to Mars.
Connor, we've talked about this. 30 seconds to Mars is the name of a band. It's not a fact.
All right, so Popstar, Never Stop, Never Stopping. That's the Lonely Island movie. What does IMDb have to say about this movie?
It's directed by Akiva Schaffer and Jorma Taccone, who are 2/3 of Lonely Island. They're credible.
Yeah.
When it becomes clear that his solo album is a failure, a former boy band member does everything in his power to maintain his celebrity status.
From the sounds of it, this sounds like a good build-up for like a fun satire parody on today's pop stars, right? But it's not that at all.
It's totally not. This is a short.
It really is.
Padded out to 90 minutes. I was with it for maybe 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Same here.
And I might even be stretching that. Like, it feels like it's an SNL sketch.
Totally.
I've seen this as Spinal Tap.
Yeah.
That's the pinnacle.
Oh, yeah.
This is, and people are like, oh my God, this is just as good as Spinal Tap. And I'm like, you're fucking out of your minds.
Yeah.
This is, right. It's not a bad film. It's actually kind of funny at times. It's got a few good jokes in it. You know, just like Neighbors 2, a lot of really stupid, inappropriate humor.
Right.
Just to like try to hide the lack of plot. It's an okay film.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah, I am sort of on the same path because I instantly thought of Zoolander, the first one. Remember when they had the Zoolander and Hansel opening kind of their showcase of them modeling and what they mean to the world in terms of fashion? That was like a, you know, 5-minute bit on Zoolander.
Yeah.
And that was hilarious. But this is... that stretched out into 90 minutes.
I can't wait for people to message me saying, oh, you didn't get the importance of this film or the plot of the film. No, I totally did. I just didn't think it was terribly good.
Yeah, there's no importance to it, I thought. No. Like,
it's the Lonely Island and their 50 friends who show up for cameos.
Yeah.
Those are jokes.
Yeah. Yeah, like when Justin Timberlake shows up, we're supposed to laugh because it's Justin Timberlake playing a chef.
Yeah.
And it's like, no, that's not comedy. That's not humor. That's stupid. That's lazy.
So Andy Samberg plays Connor for Real.
Yeah, I love that name.
Connor number 4 Real.
Yeah, that's right.
And he's okay at playing the douche. That's what he is in the movie. He's a douche. The other two members of the band, the band they were in, the Style Boys.
Yeah.
With a Z, by the way.
Yeah.
It's the Lonely Island guys. Akiva Schaffer is okay. Jorma Taccone just grew a beard and just looks menacing the whole movie.
Yeah.
Pointless character.
Yeah.
And as I said, it's like every minute and a half, there's a cameo. Like, oh, that's Nas.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, what the hell is he in this for?
Yeah.
It takes away from the film.
It does. Because 99% of them don't know how to act. They don't know how to speak on screen when Nas is talking about the influence of the Style Boys in his career. It sounds so fake and stupid, and I know that's part of it, but it wasn't funny to me.
Like, no. Like, Nas might be top 3 rapper of all time.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, stop embarrassing yourself. Yeah. I shouldn't be saying that. But
he can do whatever he wants.
Do whatever he wants. Whatever.
Yeah.
But the real reason this movie doesn't work for me, I didn't like the music.
Yeah. Before we started recording, we were trying to talk about tracks I liked. And I was like, I kind of like that one. And I was like, oh, that other... oh, there was that sort of homophobic one where he's trying to be masculine and macho.
Yeah, that didn't work for me at all.
I thought it was kind of funny at first.
You were talking about this on Twitter, and I think it's really apt here. There is one mockumentary that stands out to me musically other than Spinal Tap, and it's Fear of a Black Hat.
Yeah, that's the definitive one.
Which is a freaking classic if you haven't seen that film.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
You check that one out. It's probably on Netflix. If it's not, they should get on that because that movie needs to be seen.
Oh, yeah.
I think this is an okay film, but for like half-hour stretches,
yeah,
I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it loses all the momentum going into like the middle half, the middle act of the film. It's just, you lose all of that funniness of the opening and you... and it's replaced with Usher and Nas, and you know, you get one really cool scene with Maya Rudolph. She shows up. I loved her in this. She's in it for about 90 seconds.
There is one guy I liked in the film. Chris Redd plays a rapper named Hunter.
Okay.
I thought he was okay.
Yeah, he had some good energy.
He had a nice presence to him.
Yeah,
kind of a psychopath.
True. Yeah, that's right.
But I, you know what, man? A lot of people are really liking this one.
Yeah, and loving
once,
it.
Once again, I think we might be the 3% on this one.
We are.
Yeah.
You know what I think it is? Name 2 really good comedies from this year. can you do it?
Wow. Midnight Special and The Witch.
There you go. The answer is Hail Caesar and Hail Caesar second time.
Pretty much.
There hasn't been a good comedy outside of Hail Caesar.
No.
And I think that's why people are eating this up, because it's okay for 20 minutes.
Yeah. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yeah,
whatever.
I don't care. It's like a 3 out of 5 all day.
Yeah. Tops.
Tops.
Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. It's not a bad film, but it's not a great film either.
No, it's not.
So it's, we are the 3%.
We are the 3%. That's right. Bill for real. Adrian for real. All right. Yeah. We don't have much else to say about Popstar. That's a lukewarm review if I ever heard one.
Yep.
All right, well, let's move on to the next one. Oh, what should we do next?
Dude, it only gets worse.
It only gets worse.
Flip a coin for shit.
Let's go with Warcraft.
All right.
Duncan Jones.
Duncan Jones.
He's an auteur.
Wow. All right.
Shooting Warcraft. Yeah. All right.
Oh, it's good to see trees again. Down the snow. Even from a distance. Remember when we would track blood ox through the Frostwind dunes? It was always meat. Always life. You not think it's strange that we lost our home when Gul'dan came to power?
One orc cannot kill a world, Durotan.
Are you sure? Look around you. Does it not remind you of something? Wherever Gul'dan works his magic, the land dies. If our people are to make a home here, my friend, Gul'dan must be stopped. We are not powerful enough to defeat Gul'dan. No.
All right, so Warcraft. Could anybody make sense of this? Did IMDb make any sense of this?
The peaceful realm of Azeroth stands on the brink of war as its civilization faces a fearsome race of invaders. Orcs!
Yeah.
Orcs.
Orcs.
Exclamation point.
Yeah. And one orc shaman.
Oh my God. Wow. Where do we even start?
It feels like if this were still in 35mm days, it feels like there's an opening reel missing in this film.
I hated this film.
Me too.
I absolutely hated this film. It's really terrible. And I played the games. Well, I didn't play World of Warcraft.
Right.
But I played Warcraft 1, 2, and 3.
Yeah.
All really good games.
Yeah.
I guess I'm technically a fan.
That's right.
And I know how the games work. I couldn't tell you anything about this film. It's just a mess.
It's a mess.
It's not only is the plot a complete mess, it has like iffy special effects, the super terrible makeup. There's no script. It's all over the place.
All over the place.
Yeah.
Yeah, the scenes don't mesh well together. There's just no momentum that gets going. It's dead on arrival.
Plus, you have these giant orcs who look like two Arnold Schwarzeneggers on steroids put together. Giant, massive, huge people versus these little humans. And the humans are kicking ass.
Oh, yeah. They're just slaughtering them.
What?
Yeah.
This makes no sense. Right off the top, like the opening scene is just a piece of shit. Like, it's just a wacky, no idea what it's doing piece of shit.
Yeah.
It's like this giant birth scene.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's just like, what?
What was that for?
Are you introducing like mythology here or something?
Yeah.
I don't quite know what you're doing. There's like infringement on the Evil Dead in the film.
Oh yeah,
like
yeah,
totally. Like Sam Raimi should be suing them.
Totally,
because they called gun boomsticks.
Yeah, I caught that too. I was like, wait a minute,
really was not impressed by that.
Yeah.
It tries really hard to be epic, but motherfucker, we saw Peter Jackson already do this shit.
Yeah,
like seriously, dude, this I now know what you felt like watching The Hobbit. I know you didn't like the Hobbit movies.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan.
And I was just like, I like the Hobbit, but man, this felt like the shittiest Lord of the Rings film ever made.
Oh, totally. A discarded Lord of the Rings film.
And like poor Duncan Jones, not to mention his dad dying, but
yeah.
this is a really bad year for him. Like, this movie sucks.
Yeah.
And he made Moon.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a classic science fiction film.
Oh, totally.
Source Code was okay.
I liked Source Code.
Yeah, it was okay. Yeah. Nothing major, but this is a huge fail, man.
It is big time.
You got like Travis Fimmel in the lead.
Yeah. Who is that?
I have no idea. Paula Patton.
Yeah, that's right.
Paula Patton has the worst effects on her face I've maybe seen in a movie in a very long time.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
These like two like little like fang things hanging out. And that's her orc teeth.
Yeah.
Ben Foster.
Dude.
Oh my God.
I love Ben Foster, but what is he doing in this film?
Yeah, he was in a really bad film earlier in the year too.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh. And Dominic Cooper?
Yeah. Why does he have a career?
I like him in Preacher.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Preacher's pretty cool.
Okay.
But yeah, he sucks. A local Vancouver actor named Ryan Robbins, who's like a TV actor.
Okay.
He's in Sanctuary and Continuum. He's a good actor. Completely misused in the film. Nothing works in the film, so it doesn't matter. He had no chance. One of the worst films of the year.
Yeah, by far. By far. At least give me something interesting to watch. Like, it's just incoherent. Like, the scenes don't tie together. The narrative, good luck trying to put that together. And you're talking to a couple of guys who played the games way back in the day.
Their whole, like, thought process is, let's just make it louder.
Yeah. Let's just have a fight scene break out.
Yeah, everything hit each other.
Yeah, and it's violent, dude. Like,
yeah.
I did enjoy some of the violence. Like, some of it was just outrageous. Like, an orc, like, throwing a horse at a couple of guys and stuff. And a griffin. I won't talk about that scene, but there's a cool thing with a griffin.
Yeah.
And, man, yeah. Some of it was fun to watch.
The orcs have a mage who has this ability to suck like life from people, and he sucks it from a deer.
That's right.
What the fuck?
Why did he do that?
And, like, the camera cuts over to this like grazing deer, and he's just like roar, and the deer's just like
yeah.
Oh, it's like what?
It, like, becomes like the movie Thinner.
Yeah, it's so terrible.
Oh man.
Yeah, it's completely bombed in North America.
Yeah,
but it's doing gangbusters in Asia.
Oh really?
Yeah, because everybody played Warcraft.
Oh, I guess so. Everybody played it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
But this is easily one of the worst films of the year. And do not give us your money.
Yeah. I don't like to promote this behavior, but this is the kind of bad movie that you watch with your friends and just make fun of it while you're watching it. So I think that's the only joy you could get out of watching Warcraft.
Wow. That's high praise.
That is high praise.
But I think the only thing I liked in the film was like the CG animals.
Okay.
I thought they were pretty cool. Like the griffin, and there was like this giant like oversized snow leopard thing.
That thing was cool.
Well, that was pretty cool. Yeah. That's it. Like, seriously, that's all I can think of that I liked in the film.
Yeah. I think for me, I liked some of the pretty lights you see when Ben Foster casts a spell. It's like, oh, glowing blue stuff. Oh, glowing green stuff. Oh, cool.
All right. Yeah.
That's about all I could take out of the movie.
I'm not going to give it a zero.
No?
Just because it didn't really piss me off. It was just terrible.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a 1 out of 5.
Yeah.
It's not Neighbors too bad. That movie just pissed me off.
Yeah. Yeah. I did nod off halfway through the film, and I think that was out of self-defense because my body was just like,
I'm done.
Peace out, Holmes. We need a break from this monotonous bullshit movie.
Nice.
So it gets a 0 out of 5 from me.
Nice. That's rare from you. You usually don't give zeros.
That's right. I'm usually like half star, one star. But yeah, that's Warcraft.
Nice.
War crap. Don't see war crap.
you sir are a wordsmith.
That's right. I'm the first one to come up with it. I ran a search on Twitter. Nobody else said that. It's amazing.
I don't think anybody saw it.
That's right. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on. let's move to another bad movie. Now You See Me Too.
And 0 for 52.
Wrong. It's perfect. It's a perfect score. So then what about girls?
Like relationships. What?
Look, it's not something I'm proud of, but every girl I get close to, I end up taking their trust. And then their wallet.
Now You See Me Too. What does IMDb have to say about this one?
Directed by John M. Chu, the Four Horsemen resurface and are forcibly recruited by a tech genius to pull off their most impossible heist yet. Sounds intriguing.
It does. I was looking forward to this.
So was I. I'm a big fan of the first one. Afraid to say it. I rewatched it.
Yeah. Before, okay, cool.
And I still like it.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
Yeah.
But it knows it's stupid and it has a fun time doing it.
Yeah, and the actors had fun with it too.
Yeah, and the magic's fun.
Like, yeah, it's a bit of sleight of hand.
Yeah, like it's just a fun little stupid film. It's not going to win any awards or anything stupid like that. It's just a nice little fun time to watch, you know?
Yeah.
Was looking forward to this one. This also is one of the worst films of the year.
It is garbage.
By far.
It is. By a wide margin.
So everybody's back except for one person. So we got Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson, Dave Franco, Mark Ruffalo. Then some new people, Lizzie Kaplan, Daniel Radcliffe, Michael Caine, Morgan Freeman. Isla Fisher is not in the film anymore.
That's right.
And it's literally explained in three sentences.
That's right.
And, it's not even really explained.
Yeah.
It's just like, she left.
Yeah.
I'm like, all right.
She peaced out.
Yeah. She read the script.
Yeah, that's right.
And was like, no, I'm good.
She was the smart one.
So yeah, I hated this film. The first film worked because it had stupid bullshit magic that you knew it was totally fake, but it was still kind of fun.
Yeah.
This film has no magic.
There's none.
None.
It's like two people are hanging out and it's like, I took your wallet and your belt without you looking, man. Look. And it's like, what?
That's not magic. It's you're a thief.
That's right.
I kind of wanted like all the tricks to be like amped up.
Yeah.
There's no tricks.
Yeah. There's none. It's
nothing.
It's them defying gravity with playing cards and stuff. Yeah. And
it's just a really super serious film.
What's up with that? Yeah, I guess it's not missing that. That's what it's missing. It's the fun and poking that it poked itself in the first one.
It's a drama.
Yeah, it's true.
And that's wrong.
Yeah.
Everybody's back. Did you guys not make the first one? Like, that one worked because it was fun.
Yeah.
This is super serious. It's a freaking Bond film.
Yeah. Yeah. When I was comparing it to, I was hoping that this would turn into, like, Fast and Furious kind of franchise where it gradually builds. But in terms of comparing it to Fast and Furious, it went from the Fast and the Furious, the very first one, straight to Fast 5, where it's just ridiculous and stupid.
Yeah. They almost become secret agents, like Bond.
Yeah.
They have to do like stuff and get, I'm not going to tell you what it is, obviously, but they have to do like secret agents, like tasks. And I'm like, are they going to do a pop-up show where they, you know, put some dude in France and make money rain on all over people?
Yeah.
Because that was fun.
Yeah.
This isn't fun.
No, it's not fun at all. And I think a big part of why is, yeah, the script is troubled, to say the least. But the actors look like they're just not having a good time. They're just there to pick up a paycheck.
Yep.
And Woody Harrelson gets some extra stuff to do in this film, and it doesn't work at all.
Nope.
Just big swing and a miss. And I was just like, what are you guys doing? What a shit decision you made there. Ugh.
Thoughts on Lizzie Kaplan?
Oh, Lizzie Kaplan. I usually like her. I usually find her very funny. But she just got on my damn nerves, this movie.
Well, none of the characters work. So, yeah. You know, hers doesn't work either. So it's like, all right, you're like a shitty addition.
That's right.
And everything I liked about the other people, gone.
Completely vanished.
Completely gone.
Franco, another Dave Franco in a bad movie is the way you put it just before we started.
And Dave Franco's awesome.
He is, yeah.
Jesse Eisenberg was pretty good in the first one.
Yeah.
He's an asshole in this film.
Yeah.
That's him in this film.
Oh, yeah.
Asshole.
Yeah.
Woody Harrelson is just there to crack one-liners that aren't funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, Woody Harrelson, as you said, has extra work. That did not work at all.
Nope.
Yeah. I hated this film. Hated it. Yeah. I was so angry coming out of this film.
Yeah.
And I was so jazzed the whole entire day. I'm like, cool, I like the first one. This is going to be sweet.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, and it's practically a Microsoft Surface commercial for the entire runtime.
Yeah.
Oh, look, you got to look at this video. It's on YouTube. Here's my Microsoft Surface Pro. Press play.
They try to do something interesting at the end, but by then I completely tuned out.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, this makes no sense.
Yeah. Yeah, I was done. Yeah, so done.
So done.
It's a bad movie.
Bad, bad movie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, the last film I said that it didn't piss me off. This one pissed me off.
Yeah.
So we're back at the zero.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would give it a zero as well.
Yeah, I hated this.
Yeah. And, yeah, as I mentioned in my rant, it's based in China. There's something about the way that happens in the movie and the overall execution. It just feels gross to me.
Do you remember? I'm going to try to be vague here. Try. Sorry if I screw it up.
Yeah.
In the first film, they send somebody to France.
Oh yeah.
And it's fake.
Yeah.
This time they actually get sent to China.
Yeah. And it happens.
Yeah.
In a blink of an eye.
Yeah.
And I'm How'd we do that?
Yeah. And I'm just like, well, I figured that out like 10 seconds ago. Like, this is stupid. Things like that pissed me off.
Oh, yeah. And they show you how they did the tricks, too.
Yeah.
Which makes no sense
while you're watching it. Every time there is a little bit of magic in the film, they explain how they did it. Thanks for ruining the illusion.
Yeah. There's no magic happening.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terrible film.
Yeah.
I think I might be talking about this next show on our
there you go.
Mid-year list.
That's right.
Yeah.
The recap show.
Yeah.
All right.
Fuck that film.
Yeah. Fuck this film. Fuck this. Don't see it.
Fuck this entire movie-going time.
That's right. Yeah. I saw Warcraft and Now You See Me 2 back-to-back. And that was one of the worst experiences of my life.
How are you still alive?
Yeah. I don't know, man. I went to McDonald's and ate my feelings. So, yeah, I've got an upset stomach right now as well. So I'm paying the price twofold, threefold.
Nice.
There you go. All right. So, yeah, don't see Now You See Me 2. Don't see Warcraft. See something else. Go rent Chef.
Yes.
Yeah.
Midnight Special's coming out on Blu-ray.
That's right.
Watch that.
Yeah, watch that. Well, we can move on to our next part of the show. The Movie Club. This is where Bill picks a movie for us to watch for this episode. We talk about it and we picks another one. And the vicious cycle keeps on going. So this episode's movie is Son of Saul. Why don't you lay it down for our listeners? And again, we'll keep it very... We won't talk spoilers because it's a very new movie, right?
Yeah, it's been out on Blu-ray for about 2 months now. It's from 2015 and it won the Best Foreign Film Oscar, which it actually deserved.
Oh, yeah.
It's directed by a first-time director named Laszlo Nemes.
That's insane.
Yeah. The film, the basic plot is, in the horror of 1944 Auschwitz, a prisoner forced to burn corpses of his own people finds moral survival in the thought of burying a child.
That's right.
Sounds like a total fun, happy movie. Eh?
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And that's how it opens. You see a bunch of Jews get gassed.
Yeah.
One survives, a little boy.
And he's coughing and spitting, and Saul picks him out of the crowd and thinks it's his son.
Yeah.
So, yeah, his whole thought process is, I have to get my son buried in a traditional Jewish way.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, oh, man, you're in the wrong place for this, homie.
Yeah.
This is not good.
Yeah. And he's in a bunker the whole time.
Yeah.
So it's not like he can just, you know, pull the body a few yards away and dig a hole.
Saul is played by Geza Rohrig, who has never been in a movie before.
That is insane.
He was in a TV show in 1989, but that is it.
That's hard to believe. I was shocked when you told me
that. I know.
That.
I'm just like, holy crap.
He's got a great presence.
It's just, yeah, natural presence. It's uncanny. The thing I really like about the film is, you know, other than the plot, I think the plot's great, but just the way it's shot.
Oh, yeah.
The film shot 1:33:1 Academy ratio, which is super tight.
It is, yeah.
So their idea is to more or less put the camera on Saul's shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very point of view.
Yeah.
Because it's so tight, him just walking around becomes kind of claustrophobic.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's obviously a concentration camp. Like, this is mm-hmm. really tough stuff. But their idea of the camera being on the shoulder is great because it gives them a total tight shot where they can make everything in the background a little out of focus.
Yeah.
You can still kind of see it,
mm-hmm.
but it's a little out of focus, and it's always the harshest stuff in the film.
Oh, yeah.
And it's beautiful in a really gross way.
Yeah. I know what you mean. Yeah, and it's the way I thought of it is that he's putting the audience right in there with Saul. It's one of the most horrific things any human has had to endure. And he's protecting the viewer while simultaneously showing you a little bit of what happened there. And it's just disgusting. You know, he's walking through and you can hear bodies burning. You can hear bodies getting stacked on each other. And just the gross, just inhumane treatment that happened to Jews back in World War II. It's really, really disgusting and harrowing stuff, but essential.
Yeah. Saul is what they called a Sonderkommando. And he's the one that picks, him and his other Sonderkommandos are the ones that pick up the dead bodies. And they, while they're being gassed, have to go through their clothing and collect all their valuables.
Yeah. That's so gross.
Yeah. It's brutal. But they start doing things like keeping stuff and bribing guards. And there's all this little system going on in the camp that you're just like, wow, okay. Yeah. These guys aren't giving up.
Yeah.
It's really brutal and they know what's going on, but they're not giving up. It's the only reason Saul's alive. It's because he's doing this Sonderkommando job.
Yeah.
And that's terrible.
It is.
I think his performance was easily a top five performance of last year.
Oh, yeah.
Once again, proving that the Oscars are complete bullshit.
Yeah.
Oh, the film has subtitles.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, it won Best Foreign Film.
Yeah.
So obviously people liked it.
Oh, totally.
I don't get why he didn't get any kind of love.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, and even on the indie circuit didn't get a lot of love.
No, not really.
Like with the Spirit Awards and all that stuff.
It won the second prize at Cannes last year.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Deepon, the Jacques Audiard film, won the Palme d'Or. I've seen Deepon. It's an okay film. Ending's terrible. This should have won. Everybody said it.
Yeah.
It's completely deserving of everything it ever wins. As I said before, and I'll say it again, I think it's one of the best films of the decade.
Yeah.
End of story.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that.
When I saw it at the Vancouver International Film Festival last year, I was so out of it after the film, I couldn't even stand up.
Really?
Yeah, it's one of those films, man. I said it's the definitive Auschwitz film.
It really is.
This is not Saving Private Ryan, like Spielberg shit. This is like authentic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the filmmaker, he did a lot of research. He said on the Blu-ray, there's a special features portion where he talks about the hidden letters that the Jews wrote and buried underground so there would be evidence of what they went through. So all of this is coming from straight from their experiences, and that's devastating.
Yeah, there's no Ralph Fiennes character like in Schindler's List.
Right.
There's nothing like that. This is just real.
Yeah.
Really real. It's a stunning piece of work. Mm-hmm. The Blu-ray is amazing. Has amazing sound.
Oh, yeah.
I was shocked at how good the sound was on the Blu-ray.
Yeah.
I watched it in a huge, giant auditorium, and the sound wasn't terribly great.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, the Blu-ray is worth every damn penny you spend on it if you're going to buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super glad you like this one.
Yeah, man. Yeah, it was like, oh, man. I read about that news in Orlando. I was like, okay, well, let's watch Son of Saul. This will beat me down even more. But sometimes you just need to do that to enjoy a great film.
Yeah. It's a great film.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that over the last two shows, you've been able to catch up on two pretty awesome films from last year that you didn't get a chance to see.
Yeah, that probably would have made it really tough for me to make my top 10 film list.
Yeah.
They probably would have found a way in there. Another thing I love about this film is how it gives you a lot to talk about. There are things that happen on screen where you're not sure if that's real, and there's discussion that could spawn from that. And
Because I always think that the best films are open to interpretation.
Yeah.
Like five people could watch this film and probably have a different thought process on it.
Yeah.
It's deliberately vague in parts.
Yeah.
And it puts thoughts into your head. And I love that in film.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to be spoon-fed every piece of plot.
Yeah.
There's no voiceover in this film.
Yeah. There's no exposition.
No.
They don't talk to the audience. They talk to each other. And that's what I love about films like this. They just put it in the hands of the audience to follow along. And as long as they're consistent characters, the audience will be right into it. And I love this film.
No spoilers, of course. It's a hell of an ending, eh?
Oh, dude. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. I was just like, oh, dude. I had to take a minute. I was just like, oh, man. It's like I just watched no, I'm not going to say anything. But yeah, that was a hell of an ending, dude.
Was I know you didn't see it at Fantastic Fest, obviously, but do you know if Laszlo Nemes was at Fantastic Fest?
I don't recall.
Fuck. I would have loved that. He wasn't at VIFF last year, and I would have loved to like just gone out to that dude and go, you know, shake his hand and say thank you, because that film is just, you know, for all of its harshness, that film is my jam.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, oh, totally.
This is why I watch film, man. These challenging films.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't think there's a better one.
Yeah.
In the last little while.
Oh, totally. And at no point does it become manipulative. And I love that. He puts a lot of respect into the characters and the history and the audience. And there's nothing that feels gross about it other than the obvious violence that you see.
Yeah, the obviousness of it. But
those harsh things you witness, that's essential. You know, like you really need to see some of these things. And, you know, and because it's not always in focus, we're protected a little bit. But it's an important part of history that needs to be told and never forgotten.
Damn right, man. Damn right. That's awesome. I'm super glad you liked it.
Yeah.
Wish you could have saw it last year. But
that would have been cool.
Shit happens, man.
That's right. Yeah.
We have another theater opening in our town, so we're going to get some more screens.
Yeah.
So hopefully we get some more movies here that are like limited.
Yeah, I'd be into that.
But guess what?
Yay.
It's not, the next film is not another 2015 film.
Okay.
It's from 1988.
Oh, man.
And might be our first documentary.
Oh, really? Okay.
Fuck it. I thought, you know what? We haven't done a documentary.
Nice.
The next film is from director Errol Morris, The Thin Blue Line.
I haven't seen that.
Nice.
Yeah. All right.
You know, everybody is on that Serial bandwagon.
Oh, yeah.
Say what you will about it. It's a really popular podcast.
It is, yeah.
But I always thought it was like The Thin Blue Line.
Oh, really?
Okay. Yeah. This was the first documentary that I'd ever heard of that actually got somebody off.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. He made such a compelling case that they retried the guy.
Wow, that's unreal.
Yeah. Huh. So I think it's a really special doc.
Yeah.
And Errol Morris is a genius.
Yeah.
So have at it. It's on Netflix.
Cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, you have until June 26th. Watch A Thin Blue Line. Send us your comments through Twitter or Facebook, and we'll share our accounts at the end of the show. But you know the drill. Send us your comments. We'll read it on the next show, and we'll go from there. I guess we can get into the lightning round. This is just where we give brief reviews of other movies we've watched between the last episode and this episode. I've been watching so much TV, I didn't watch anything.
So,
all you, Bill.
Oh, no pressure.
No pressure.
No pressure at all. Well, I started it off with Me Without You.
Oh, dude, you went and saw that? Yeah. Oh, man.
I said I would see it. I thought Emilia Clarke looked really cute in the movie.
That's right.
And she is.
Okay, yeah.
but that's about it.
Oh, no.
It's really generic.
Yeah.
It's made for a certain audience, and I am not that audience.
That's right.
The audience that it's made for probably will like it and probably cry at the end.
So you're not a 14-year-old girl.
It's pretty generic stuff.
Okay.
You know exactly what it's doing. I didn't like it.
Okay.
But it's not made for me.
Yeah, exactly.
I completely understand that.
Yeah.
Probably one of my favorite indie films of the year, Love and Friendship.
Okay.
The new Whit Stillman film.
Okay.
It's very period.
Yeah.
Lots of like fancy dresses and bowing and curtsying.
Okay.
So if you don't like that kind of film,
ah,
you might not want to watch it. But I dug it.
Oh, cool.
It's from an unfinished Jane Austen novella.
Okay.
And Whit Stillman finished it. Kate Beckinsale stars in it as a woman scheming to get her daughter married.
Okay.
And she's really great. I think everybody's really great in it. I thought it's really light. It's funny.
Okay, cool.
I really liked it. People might not like it, but I really did.
Yeah.
It's definitely better than your Warcraft or whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, it's just a fun little film.
I can see that on the poster. It's better than Warcraft.
Yeah. Bill Harris.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then I saw a movie that opens in a week. I think it's also on iTunes and other VOD platforms. I saw Raiders, the story of the greatest fan film ever made.
Sweet.
It's okay.
Yeah.
A lot of people are really going nuts over it. I really wanted it to be about them making the documentary, making the actual fan film.
Yeah.
It's all about them shooting one scene they missed.
Okay.
As adults.
Okay.
And it's all about that. And I don't care about that. I wanted to know about the actual, them shooting it on VHS as 7-year-olds or whatever. And,
yeah.
You know, doing it for 7 years on their like spring break and their summer break and their winter break. And, you know, when they're kids, instead of getting Christmas presents, they would get a leather jacket so they could be Indiana Jones.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, I wanted to see that stuff.
Oh, they didn't show that.
Well, they did, but it's not a very major part of the film. It's
like glazed over kind
of thing. So, yeah, so like, I've never actually seen the VHS or whatever tape of this fan film. And I kind of want to see it. But, it's okay. Like I didn't mind it, but I just wish it was more.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, everybody in the film community is loving it. So maybe I'm just wrong again.
We'll see.
We'll see.
I'll weigh in on that next episode.
Nice. And I rewatched a couple of things. One that's kind of been slightly changed, but I'll get to that in a second. I rewatched Embrace of the Serpent.
Oh, sweet.
Dude, that movie was a rad film.
Man. That's a great one, right?
Yeah, it's stunning.
Yeah.
It's just a black and white stunning film.
Man. Yeah.
And it's the subject matter is trippy as fuck.
Yeah.
Just wacky. And it's my kind of film, man.
Yeah. It's the kind of film you experience. You don't really watch it, you experience it.
So that film's also on iTunes. So if you want a really weird kind of film, check that one out.
Sweet.
And I borrowed a buddy of mine's Blu-ray of the extended cut of The Martian.
Oh, how was that?
I didn't notice any of the new scenes.
Okay.
Maybe I wasn't really terribly paying attention to it or something, but I kind of didn't really figure stuff out.
Oh, okay.
Like I didn't really notice anything. It's got 10 extra minutes, supposedly.
Oh, okay. Comes in a new package. I know that much.
Yeah. I was tired, but I still like The Martian. It's a really good film.
It is. It's a good film. Yeah, for sure.
I haven't bought it on Blu-ray, so if I buy it on Blu-ray, I guess I'll buy the director's cut.
Yeah.
It's
on Netflix now too.
Oh, is it?
Canadian Netflix, yeah.
Nice. It's not like the regular Ridley Scott Blu-ray director's cuts where he has like 2 hours and it becomes a way different film.
Yeah.
Like the director's cut of Kingdom of Heaven.
Yeah, different films.
It's a completely different film. Yeah. It's a 5-star film.
Oh, totally.
Yeah. But it's okay.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if it's worth rebuying just for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
So, there you go. That's about it for me, man.
Cool, man. Wish I had more, but I've been watching a lot of TV lately. So.
Well, Adrian did go to try to watch The Conjuring 2.
Oh, that's right.
There is a big hole in our show. I really didn't want to see it, but Adrian did.
I did, yeah. Yeah, I went to West Shore Cineplex and got our popcorn and drink, sat through the fucking 20 minutes of trailers and commercials. Buy this car, buy this cell phone plan, blah, blah, blah. you. And then the screen goes blank.
Was it a green screen of death?
No, there's no green screen. It just went blank.
I always get green screen.
It's like the projector died and the lights went up. And all of us just kind of sat there for about 5 minutes. And then some kid came out, you know, some kid who's tearing tickets was like, "We're working on it." And then 10 minutes later, a theater manager comes out and says, "We're not going to be able to play the film tonight. So we're going to give you 2 passes each for your time."
So they didn't test the key.
Yeah, they didn't test the key. Or friend of the show, Mark, thinks maybe they didn't. What is it when you download it to their server kind of thing?
Yeah.
He thought they could have re-ingested the film. I'm not a big technical guy, so. But yeah, something went wrong.
Shout out.
Hey.
Shout out to Mark McLeod.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, it sounds like a key issue.
Yeah.
To me personally, yeah. But it still sucks. I know you wanted to see it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Sarah was going away the next day. So we have to wait until this week, I guess, to see it.
Come back next show and Adrian will have his review of it.
I will.
I won't.
Right.
I don't really care.
I love James Wan, though, man.
Really?
I do.
I thought I saw enough in the first film.
Yeah. I don't know. I have so much fun with his techniques. Like, he has this way of, like, getting into my head and just creeping me out. Like, Insidious, Conjuring.
Fuck, I hate Insidious.
Stuff. You did?
Oh,
man.
And it's dumbass sequel.
Oh, the sequel is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you sit down and they chained you to the chair and they said, "One of you has to saw your arm off."
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Saw, what up?
I actually like Saw 1.
Yeah, was pretty good.
Kind of a fun film.
Yeah.
It's all been downhill from there.
I don't know about that, man. Right on.
Speaking of downhill.
Yeah, what up?
We got some upcoming films, man.
Oh, yeah. What's on the next episode?
June 17th. Friend of the show, Kevin Hart, is back.
Oh.
Because we hate him so much.
Yeah, we won't even get it here, probably.
This time he's dragging down Dwayne The Rock Johnson in Central Intelligence. Holy fuck, I hate this trailer.
Oh, that's... Okay. He's got a stand-up show, too.
Yeah. Who cares? That won't open here.
Yeah.
Because I think Kevin Hart is terrible. But, Central Intelligence looks like absolute dog shit.
Yeah, I won't be seeing that.
I'll see it for the show.
Okay.
Because I'm stupid. Finding Dory. I'm going to out myself here and say that I'm not the biggest fan of Finding Nemo.
Oh, really? Okay.
I think Pixar had a real plot problem with that film. It was like every other Pixar film I'd ever seen before. And I'm just like, this is the same fucking film.
Okay.
And I haven't seen it since it opened. So maybe I could get over that now, but I still remember watching it and going, this is so familiar. I'm not digging it. And I'm like the only person in the world who doesn't like Finding Nemo.
Ah, man. Yeah, I really enjoyed that one. I've seen it a couple times, I think.
Maybe I'll have to rewatch before.
Yeah, I'll loan you the Blu-ray. I think I have it.
Yeah. I probably won't watch it.
Movie club? What?
And that's it for that weekend. Holy crap.
Oh, that's going to be a tough one.
Yeah, and then June 24th, it kind of picks up a bit. Free State of Jones with Matthew McConaughey.
What's that one about?
It's like in the South. And
when they take arms
with slaves, and Matthew McConaughey becomes the leader of the slaves, and they rise up against Whitey.
Oh, they solve racism again. All right.
It might not be that bad.
Yeah, McConaughey. I love that guy.
He's not bad. Independence Day Resurgence.
Oh, man. This is campy movie, the movie.
Yeah, I hated the first one.
Yeah.
I hate stupid action films. Fuck, this show is going to suck next time.
Yeah, and this is the thing, like, the fandom is... This is where the fandom ruins it for me. Idiots who call this, like, an action masterpiece and all that bullshit. Like, no, you're stupid.
I hope for the best. I hope it's really stupid and fun. Thor Jr.'s in it.
Thor Jr.!
Micah Monroe from It Follows is in it.
That's right.
Like her.
Yeah, she's good.
Just got a vibe, man. Roland Emmerich. Yeah. He's made like one good film.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. That's right.
And the one I'm looking forward to, if we get it, we probably won't, but I'm really hoping we get it, says Wide.
Okay.
Nicholas Winding Refn's The Neon Demon.
That's right, man.
Bring it the fuck on.
Yeah, I love his movies.
Only God Forgives was a little weird.
Yeah. I still really enjoyed that one.
It had its moments, though.
Yeah.
It was kind of slow at times, but it had its moments.
Yeah.
This looks really weird, and I'm totally into that.
Yeah. Yeah, it looks crazy.
Yeah.
There was one I wanted to talk about really briefly, though. Cinecenta, what is it, June 21st? We're finally going to get to see Everybody Wants Some.
Yes.
Linklater film.
4 months later.
Yeah. Months and months after everybody else
gets to see it. Welcome to living in a small town in Canada.
Yeah, so we'll probably main review that one.
I should hope so.
Yeah, yeah.
It was a couple more on that weekend. Swiss Army Man.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Okay. I can't wait for this.
That looks pretty cool.
Yeah.
Paul Dano and Daniel Radcliffe on an island, and Daniel Radcliffe is dead.
That's right. Yeah.
So Paul Dano uses them in a lot of different methods.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good. Yeah. And weird.
It does.
But give me some weirdness over, yeah, you know, Independence Day.
I think those directors directed that Little John video, Turned Down for What?
Nice.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. So it's crazy.
And the film for Bill, because I don't think Adrian's going to want to see this one.
Is there a new Hobbit movie coming out?
No. The new Todd Solondz film, Wiener Dog.
Okay.
Todd Solondz is a really fucked up filmmaker.
Okay.
And nobody likes him.
Oh, no way.
Except
okay.
Except for me.
I think I saw the trailer. Who's in that one again? Greta Gerwig?
Yeah, there's a bunch of people in
it. Yeah.
But he makes really strange, weird films.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I saw the trailer, and I'm really excited for that one.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's it's probably not your best first Todd Solondz film.
Okay, maybe he makes
really strange films.
Check out his stuff first.
Yeah. Including the masterpiece Happiness.
Okay, I haven't seen that.
Which is the most uncomfortable film I've ever seen in my life.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's a masterpiece.
Right on.
That is it, man.
Cool.
Fuck. I don't want to see Independence Day.
Yeah, we might have to, though.
Yeah.
It might be a repeat of Warcraft all over again.
I'm really sorry to sound so down. And
yeah.
Man, summer sucks this year.
It does. It's been a bad summer at the movies.
The tentpole season, man. It's not good.
I'm usually like right into it, too. What if we enjoy it out of the summer season, like X-Men, Winter, Captain America,
yeah,
Civil War. I can't think of anything.
Holy gosh.
That's it.
Yep.
Marvel movies.
That's it, man.
All right. Yeah, that's tough.
That's it, man. All right. That's the next show.
All right.
I'm going to try to be really positive.
Well, at least we're going to have a Linklater film to talk about.
Bring my flask.
That's right. Get shit-faced and watch Everybody Wants Some. Cool. All right. Well, that's what we have on the next show coming up. I guess we can start to wrap up the show. People can find you on Twitter, right?
@soundjam69.
Cool. The show has a Twitter account. We're @thegreen_screen. And you can find me. I'm @Adrian_Charlie. We also have a Facebook account. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and you can be lucky number 33 to like our page. And you can also find us on various podcast platforms like iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, anywhere where you can play a podcast. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like and throw us a comment, because that'll help us find a wider audience. And on that topic, I just wanted to give a quick shout out to California. That's where a majority of our listeners come from, and I think that's awesome. So thanks for checking us out.
California love.
Yeah. So
I wasn't going to do the Tupac or the Dre part there.
So yeah, there you go.
I thought I'd do that part.
All right. We'll save that for another time. Awesome. So yeah, thanks again for checking us out. We'll talk to you next time.
Peace.